this is what we're doing over this little series. Many of you already are fully aware of this. We've been out and about asking friends and family who they think Jesus is, and we've, among the top four results, they're the things we're working through over the next 4 weeks. And this week, we're dealing with the response that we got, which is this one. Was he just a good man? Who was Jesus? Was he just a good man? And this was one of the higher responses that we got. A lot of people answered with this one, that he's, I guess the Aussie version is, yeah, he's just a good bloke, top bloke. Jesus, yep, awesome, thumbs up. Maybe a good moral teacher, someone who came and made the world a better place, and we all kind of look back at his example and we try and be a bit more like Jesus, the good bloke. He's been inspiring people for 2,000 years. Now, everyone is welcome to their opinion about Jesus, which is why we do this series. And you are welcome to your opinion. What we want to do, though, as we gather in these kind of times, is think through what might be a reasonable opinion or a reasonable conclusion to come to. And so I want to consider this one here tonight. And I've got to say, I can see how someone might conclude that Jesus was just a good bloke. I can see how you might come to that conclusion. When you look at some of the things he did, and if you look at the impact that he had on a lot of people, I think you can come to that conclusion that he was just a really good guy. I mean, think about it with me. He fed people when they were hungry, tops. Yeah. He helped people when they were sick. He protected women when they were being threatened. He welcomed children, you know, and he said, come to me in public. A great man, back in the first century, let little children come to him. That was huge. He spoke, and when he spoke about things like love. And when he spoke, he often spoke in a way that actually gave great comfort and hope to the people who were listening to his words. So much so that Jesus did actually gain, at one stage in his life, a huge following. He had a massive amount of followers and became quite popular in the region where he lived. So I can see how some people would come to the conclusion that he was just a good man. But what's the best way to come to a conclusion about a person? What's the best way to decide what a person really was or what they are? I've got two things that I want to kind of add to what we've just said there. I think you don't want to just look at some of the things they did in their life. You want to look at everything, yeah? You want to look at all that they did, or as much as you possibly can. You want to gather together everything they did to kind of come to your conclusion about a person, rather than being selective. You with me on that one, yeah? You don't want to just pick a few things and come to a conclusion. You want to look at everything a person does in their whole life and then come to the conclusion. The second thing you want to do is you want to look at what the person said about themselves. Yeah, that's always a helpful thing to do. Consider what a person believed about themselves and consider that. So we're going to do those two things tonight. We're going to look at more of what Jesus had, more of the things that Jesus did. And if you've come to the conclusion that Jesus was just a good bloke, a good man, a nice bloke, you want to consider some of the things he did that might be outside of the category of good man. Yeah, let me mention a couple. He tore up the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah? He walked into the temple. He was really disturbed by what he saw. He walked back out, made a whip, came back to the temple and used it to drive everyone and everything out of that place. People, animals, overturned tables. Doesn't really fit in the category of nice bloke to me, you know? But these are the things Jesus did. I'll give you one more. Jesus at one moment actually commanded demons to go into a herd of pigs that belonged to some innocent farmer who just happened to be in the vicinity where he was. And these pigs, possessed by demons, ran down the hill into the water and drowned. Now that, I don't know, is that in the category of nice bloke? I can't imagine the farmer coming up to Jesus after that, just going, oh, thank you. You know, that's just such a good thing for my livelihood. Thank you for being so nice. There are things that Jesus did that sit outside your typical category of good man. You want to consider why he would do those things, because they're not a neat fit. You also want to consider what he said about himself. And when you actually look at Jesus' words about himself, what you discover is this.
He never once claimed to be just a good man. And he had plenty of opportunity to clarify what he believed about himself. And he did on many occasions. And he never once clarified that he was a good man. In fact, whenever he had the opportunity to speak about himself or clarify, he claimed to be much, much, much more than just a good man. Lots more. In fact, the only way to come to the conclusion that Jesus was just a good man is to ignore everything he said about himself. That's what you need to do. And when I say everything he said about himself, most of what Jesus has come to say about himself, most of what Jesus said about himself that's been recorded for us is in the Bible. And we looked last week at the some of the factors that lean you towards seeing this as a very accurate record of history. So you can trust that Jesus did exist and that he was a man who did these things and even said these things about himself. And it's worth noting that he claims to be much more than just a good man. In fact, the famous author C.S. Lewis, and I keep quoting C.S. Lewis because he's a philosopher and a Christian and wrote a lot of different books and offers really reasonable thinking and argument towards assessing a whole bunch of things. When he considers this proposition, and people through the centuries have suggested Jesus was just a good bloke, when C.S. Lewis in his book Mere Christianity considers this response, he says, it's patronising nonsense and foolishness to suggest that Jesus was just a great moral teacher or a good man because he simply has not left that option open to us. In other words, when you consider what Jesus says about himself, he never once leaves open the option for him just being a good man. He always claims much more about himself than that. And it's interesting, if you look at how Jesus makes the claims about himself, it's not simply in what he says, it's also in what he does. His actions, his deeds, and his miracles all speak about who he thinks he is. In fact, a lot of his actions and his deeds and his miracles are done deliberately and followed by really detailed description and teaching points that Jesus wants people to understand about himself. Some of his deeds, you could just say, are basically illustrations to make teaching points about deeper spiritual things. And a lot of his miracles are actually called signs because they point directly towards Jesus' identity and the claims about himself. Let me give you a couple of examples. When he actually, in that situation where he does say to the little children, "Come to me," he's not simply just being a nice guy because he invites them to come to him. And then he uses that invitation and the children in his vicinity to teach and make a point. And his point is, you actually need to have the faith of a child to enter the kingdom of God. You see what he does? Even in some little deed or action that you could say he's just being nice. No. Almost all of the actions and deeds he does them to make a point, a spiritual point, to teach about the deep things that he's really come for. When he meets the woman at the well, now some of you will know of these stories, and if you don't, then you can chase them down. He meets a woman at the well. Now, firstly, at the time of day and the situation, the cultural situation, to meet a woman at the well in that place, it wasn't the done thing to communicate in any way. But Jesus breaks social convention, and he in a sense has compassion on this woman because he knows her history, and he speaks to her and gets involved in a conversation with her. But again, why? Just because he's been a nice guy? Just because he's a good man? No. He uses the opportunity to teach a deep spiritual thing, which is what he says to the woman, you know what you really need? You really need living water, not just this stuff. You need water that's going to bring you life for all eternity, and I'm the one who can give that to you. See what he does? I'll give you more examples. And here's some of his examples about the miracles that he does that actually point to his identity. He heals a paralytic, and he heals many people in his time. But one of the times when he heals this paralytic, a person who's paralyzed, yeah, and brought to him, in the context of healing the paralytic, he actually speaks to this man after having, just before he heals him, and he actually says, I know you want your body healed, and I'm just about to do that for you, but you know what you really need is you actually need to have your sins healed. You need your sins forgiven, And I'm actually the one who can declare your sins to be forgiven. You see, we're doing it again. The miracle is to point to the deeper reality, the deeper healing that needs to happen. Time and time and time again, we get this in Jesus' ministry. His healings actually signs that point to what he wants, the point to the what he wants, the point to the what he what. All right, you with me? What he what? What? It's the best show ever, what he wants. I'll just move on to my next one. Feeding 5,000. I've got a few more for you. Feeding 5,000. Again, he's out in the desert, in the wilderness. They're a long way from the village where he can get access to food. And there's thousands of people that have followed him there to get his teaching. They're hungry. What do you do? Well, he decides to get a young boy's recess and actually a bit of fish and bread and multiply it so it feeds 5,000 men and their wives and children. So probably maybe 10 or 15,000 people in that miracle. Now, why does he do that? Does he do it just because they're hungry? Well, no doubt Jesus has compassion on people and is aware of our physical needs and our longings. And he does connect with us in that. But there's always a deeper thing, a bigger point he's trying to make. In that context, he feeds 5,000 and then he goes on into a discussion where he claims to be the bread of life. He says, you come to me and believe in me, you will never hunger again. Never hunger again for contentment and satisfaction in life, because I've come to give you real life. So many of Jesus' miracles point to his resurrection. I'll give you one more. Are you bored yet? No. Thank you. Just one no, a little, just little half shake of the head. That's all I need. And I'll keep going. He rocks up at his mate's funeral and his friend Lazarus had died 3 days ago. And he sees everyone crying. And he himself weeps. Just connected with grief, being really human as well. And he actually calls his friend who's been dead for 3 days back to life, and he comes out of the tomb. It's phenomenal. Everyone is freaking out, as you would if that ever happened at a funeral. Does he do that simply to be a nice guy, to see his mate again, to comfort those who are grieving? Well, you'd have to say yes, in a sense. But there's always something bigger, believe it or not, than even loss of life. There's something bigger, and he uses that opportunity to speak again about himself, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe in me, and though you die, you will live again. You see how he uses deeds, actions, miracles to point to either a significant spiritual teaching point or point directly to what he believes about himself. He certainly saw himself as far more than just a good man. And Jesus has always cared what other people think of him. He has always been concerned about what people and even what you and I think about him, and has always been in the business of correcting people's thoughts about him. Not because he's insecure. That's not why he did it. I just want to know what people think of me because I'm worried about what they think of me because I really care about what they think of me. No, Jesus was concerned about what people think because it was fundamentally important to get it right. It was and it still is. We look at a passage here tonight, Mark chapter 8, where Jesus says that very thing. He says, who do people say I am? I'm concerned. It's important. What are people saying about me? And what are you saying about me? Come and have a look at Mark 8 and pick it up with me. Jesus and his disciples, verse 27 there. Have a look at what we're looking at. He enters Caesarea Philippi. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? You see his concern? Who do people say I am? Now, they reply on behalf of generally, you know, the community at that time. And here's their reply. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets. So they say, well, there's lots of ideas out there, but you really, all these ideas fall into one category, prophet. You know, John the Baptist, the first New Testament prophet or last Old Testament prophet. Elijah, significant prophet. Or third category is just one of the prophets. So basically, they're basically saying, when Jesus says, who do people say I am? They basically say, well, everyone thinks you're probably a prophet. Which is basically say, so everyone thinks you're just an impressive man of God, yeah? or a great spiritual man. You're another one in the long line of men of God who have brought God's word to God's people, and that's what most people think you are. Which is basically to say, it's very similar to what we're looking at here. They're basically saying, everyone just thinks you're a good man, and more detailed, everyone just thinks you're a good spiritual man. That's what everyone thinks you are. So this is not new, this response we've got. In fact, this concept of Jesus being simply a good man or a prophet has been alive since the day he was around and is still alive today. In the Quran, those who are Muslims actually believe that Jesus was simply just that, just a prophet. Yeah. And actually not even as high a level prophet as Muhammad. So there are many today who still regard Jesus to be a prophet. But their answer to Jesus when he asks who they think I am is basically to say, mate, a lot of people think you're a pretty good spiritual man, but no one thinks that you are the one. Yeah, that's what they're saying to him. No one's thinking you're it. So they tell him pretty honestly. And then Jesus turns to them, his own disciples, his own followers, and he gets personal. And have a look at what he says. He turns to them and he says, verse 29, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And this is where the rubber's really hitting the road. His own disciples get asked, Jesus said, "What do you reckon? Who do you think I am?" And in this context where Jesus has gone, who do they think I am? Who do you think I am? I want you to kind of, if you can, hear Jesus ask you that very same question tonight. And I want you to consider this very seriously. Hear Jesus say, who do you think I am? It may be that people have lots of different ideas. Well, what do you reckon? What's your conclusion? What's your opinion? Because it really matters. And then Peter, one of Jesus' followers, who actually is like the self-appointed spokesperson for the disciples. Peter's the guy who is always the first one to speak, often the first one to put his foot in his mouth. Peter pipes up and answers on behalf of everyone. And this is probably one of the few times where he actually gets it right. And to look at Peter, Peter pipes up. He answers very clearly, "You are the Messiah." You are the Messiah, which is basically to look at Jesus and say, who do we think you are, mate? We believe you are the one. You're the one. You're the anointed one. Yeah? You're the Christ. Literally, the Messiah means the Christ. And if you're unfamiliar with any of those kind of titles, here's what Messiah or Christ actually means. It simply means this.